Thank you, Caleb. Thank you guys in the back. Appreciate y'all. And good morning. How are y'all doing today, all you old people? I've been practicing that all morning. Just kidding. But excited to see you guys today, dressed up, enjoying Unity Week. Those of you that really went all out, you're the best. Thanks for keeping it fun and being involved. See, Wendy apparently is the one to see today, guys, if you have not heard. So don't let the day go by without saying hello to all of the senior citizens on campus. It's good to see. Awesome. Awesome. So I hope that went good. And I pray for the rest of you guys that it'll continue to go good, that you'll make that time to do that. And again, if you have any questions, I'll be available for a little bit after class if you missed any notes or highlights during our review. But again, love you guys. It's going to be a great week. It's going to be a great day. And just excited again to be here with you guys. It's always an honor and a pleasure. And just kind of looking around at all you guys because y'all are just really awesome. And I know these weeks are going by fast. And before we know it, you will be TBI alumni, which is pretty awesome to think about. So we'll pray and dive into today. Father, we just love you. We thank you so much for today. We thank you for who you are and what you've done. We thank you for what you're doing in us and through us, that your word is working mightily in us. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to come together, to focus on you, to open our ears and focus our hearts to hear what you are saying to us. In our family, in our communities, and in our relationships. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so diving into chapter 6. If you have your workbooks, open up. We will get there. Resolving family conflict is where we are today. How many of you know that people aren't perfect? We know that, and family is people. So families aren't always perfect either. And so we're going to kind of dive into this, help you kind of navigate where you are, where you're going in families. One day you'll have a family of your own. One day you'll marry into a family. So family is important. Family is a part of God's heart. That's what it was all about for him. When you're born again, you were born into a new family. We'll talk about that a little bit today as well. But let's dive in here. Family conflict isn't inevitable, but frequently shouting matches and dreaded holidays are not God's plan. Shout out, Thanksgiving's coming up. I hope you're looking forward to it. Yeah, come on. Turkey, stuffing, dressing, all the good stuff. But definitely lots of family and lots of opportunity for you to share love, to show what you have been learning, and hopefully help navigate any type of family conflict that could arise in such an occasion. But Jesus resolves all family drama with one challenge and one phrase. Turning to your next page, that is, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. You are sons of God, daughters of God, therefore you are called to be a peacemaker. Looking at your word as truth, we have Proverbs 17:7. It says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Adversity means difficulties, misfortune. A friend, the NLT version says, a friend is loyal and a brother is born to help in the time of need. I'll be honest, I always kind of misunderstood the scripture, but when I dove into it a little bit more, I realized the gift that family is, the gift of a brother, the gift of a sister, whether you have one naturally that God has given you and placed in your life or been adopted into the family of God. You have brothers and sisters who are there to help you in a time of need. A friend will always love you, but a brother will always be there for you. Family is a bond that we all know and love and should appreciate and understand that family is a gift. You can choose your friends, but you don't get to choose your family. So know this, You are in the family that you are supposed to be in. God himself put you there. You were born there. And then as you said yes to Jesus, you were born again and you were put in a new family, another family, but that doesn't cross out the one that you came from, the love that you share and the bond that is there, which is blood, which is everlasting for the rest of your life. You will always be a part of your family that you were born into. So it's important that we just understand that and learn to grow in that. Ephesians 4:31 says, lay aside all bitter words, temper tantrums, revenge, profanity, and insults. Those should not be things that come out of your mouth, but instead be kind and affectionate toward one another. Has God graciously forgiven you? Then graciously forgive one another in the depths of Christ's love. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification. Edification is the instruction or improvement of a person's morally or intellectually. That is, that it may impart grace to the hearers. So what is grace? Grace is approval, favor, mercy, pardon, a special favor, privilege, or a deposition. Sorry, y'all, I'm all tongue-tied today. To, or an act of instant kindness or courtesy. We should extend grace to others because Jesus has extended great grace to us. And then John 13:34 says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. This has been through every chapter talking about the love that Jesus has given us. And there's nothing and no relationship in your life that you, that love cannot conquer all and that love will not fail. Love will never fail. So love will be a part of every strong, healthy relationship that you have, whether that is a neighbor, an enemy, a loved one, a family member. We should love them all. So looking at resolving family conflict again, going into blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. So does your family have inconsiderate relatives? Most of us can easily say yes. Anyone that holds grudges, very possibly. Family conflict is inevitable. Secular psychologists recommend managing expectations, setting boundaries, and getting to the root of the issue. While those techniques are beneficial, the biblical pathway to resolve family conflict is to become a peacemaker. Peacemakers don't lack backbone or avoid confrontation. They have observed the evils of strife and offense and choose a higher life, a peace-filled life. So when you're with your family, you are normally with the people closest to you, or at least I should say the most comfortable with. When you're home, when you're with family, you let your guard down. You relax on your behavior, your manners. You aren't putting on a show for anybody. You're surrounded by people that you know that no matter what, there's a connection that isn't changing. You will always be connected by blood to your family, which is precisely why family conflict is a thing. You fight with a sibling like you would never fight with a friend, because if you fought with a friend like that, you probably still wouldn't be able to call them a friend. But you could talk to a sibling and a sister or a brother differently than you would talk to someone that you were trying to impress or someone that you are building a relationship with, because you know that that person is with you no matter what. Even in early childhood, it's very common and normal for a kid to go to school and they could be the most well-behaved child that you ever saw. Yes, ma'ams, no, ma'ams, follow the rules, play nicely. And then it's very common for them to come home and it just be meltdowns and tantrums. And that's because when you're home, you feel like you're in a safe place. One, everything throughout the day, following the rules, learning the boundaries can be stressful. And then you come home and you feel like you're in a safe place where you can let that go. Which is why most of us, including children, feel like we can be our worst selves at home and our family will always forgive us. But know this, as a Christian, as a child of God, as a new creation in Christ, it should be the opposite. You should be your best self at home. You're not living to put on a show or to impress anybody, but you are truly living to become more like Jesus, to be an example of him, to be a light for him, and that starts at home. So, but again, as we know, family's not always perfect, and we are certainly not always perfect, and we're growing in these things. But we're going to learn how to handle that as peacemakers. So peacemakers have different priorities. This is in your workbook. Fill in the blanks with me. Peacemakers prioritize God's values. They embrace what God loves, and they oppose what God opposes. Love God, hate evil. Peacemakers breathe grace. Their source of unlimited patience, mercy, wisdom, and love is the Holy Spirit within them. Peacemakers prioritize listening. They know the root of most conflict is unmet emotional needs. Peacemakers respond to blame with selfless humility. How can I heal your hurt and support your dreams? I want to state that peacemakers, it's an action word. It's something you do. It's something you're intentional about. It involves doing. So we just read here that we know that the root of most conflict is unmet emotional needs. Know and hear this. If you're in a family where there is strife or there is conflict, most of the time, just like even in that child early development, like I mentioned, it comes from a root of a stressful day, a hurt, a misunderstanding, just built up tension. And a lot of the times it's when we come home that we take it out on family, which again is not what we're called to do. Your family, your home and your family should be a safe place, a place of love, a place of peace, because you carry peace. But then looking at point two in humility, it's how can I heal your hurt and support your dreams? When you understand most of the time when tension or strife or conflict rises up in your family, understand that it's one, we know hurt people hurt people. So when someone lashes out at you or it seems like it comes out of nowhere or there's conflict that's rising up, one, you can look past what's being said or directed at you, especially when it's coming from someone who you know loves you. Know that one, it isn't fair that that's getting poured out on you. But to know that it's something that's hurting them on the inside. So as we grow in Christ, you can look at the conflict or the strife or whatever is coming directed at you and know that this is coming from a hurt person. And you can look at that and ask the Holy Spirit to show you how to respond. Peacemakers value reconciliation more than being right. As being a peacemaker, it is not your job to constantly correct. We all know that person or that person at the family. Someone's telling a story and then the other person like, did you mean this? The constantly correcting, that in itself can bring up and cause offense in someone. One, with constant correction and a superior attitude can bring hurt and offense and also put someone down. But also sometimes it's okay just to listen and correct later to understand. Jesus commands us to go and be reconciled, and it's taken seriously. Peacemakers escape traps. There are several traps that every peacemaker should be warned of, but let's study two, which are predominant. One, offense. We talked a lot about offense in our last class, and offense is very often the root cause of most conflict. So offense can compound. Offense progresses from an annoyance or resentment to bitterness to a severed relationship. Offense needs to be dealt with. It needs to be forgiven. It needs to be communicated. These are all things that we've talked about in previous classes that will help you build strong, healthy relationships, but they can also help you save the relationships that you have. So it's always important to stop and evaluate, especially if the conflict or the strife or what's coming out is coming out of you. You can stop, pause, and deal with what is going on. Offense is a trap. It describes the trigger of a trap on which a bait is placed to catch an animal. If you react to that jabbing insult, that trap will spring shut and you'll be caught. Sometimes it's best just to let things go. Sometimes things are saying unintentionally, and it's not our job to respond with like manner. Offense taints, thank you, your Christian witness. The future tense verb from scandalizio are the roots of our English words scandal and scandalize. In the moral context, picking up an offense indicates the enticement to conduct which will diminish your Christian influence through strife and gossip. We know this, that we are called to represent Jesus in the world and in our families, in our homes, and in our relationships. And if you cannot deal with offense in yourself, you will not be able to represent Jesus the way that you were supposed to. This goes with forgiving. You have to forgive to move forward. Forgiving is just as much a part of your healing. We have all been offended at some point, big or small, most likely many times throughout the day. But we're called to be vessels of love, vessels of truth, to walk as Jesus walked, to walk humbly and just always in love. Next, we have overlooking offense. Good sense makes a man restrain his anger, and it is his glory to overlook a transgression or an offense. Sensible people control their tongue. They earn respect by overlooking wrongs. No offense is worth losing your peace with God and man. Jesus told Peter to forgive 70 times 7 times because God has forgiven us more. Strife. Strife is the opposite of peace. When you come to the dinner table, you are bringing one or the other. You are bringing strife, sorry y'all, or peace. So know this, Jesus has given you peace. Not as the world gives peace, but you are a vessel of peace. And when you walk into a room, you have the ability to change that atmosphere. One, through prayer first. If you're in a home where strife is a big thing, I don't want to pretend like we all come from happy, healthy homes, because I know that that's not always the case. So if strife is a big thing in your home, know that one, you can pray before you go. Pray before you go home. Pray before you leave your room. Pray about that situation. Pray about everything. So strife is defined as a bitter, somewhat violent conflict or dissension, exhortation or contention, y'all, for superiority, the result of a demonical influence. So as a believer, a spirit-filled believer, you have discernment. And with discernment, again, when you stop, you listen, you look at the person, not the action, you can see where is that coming from. Again, if strife is a big thing, know that we are spiritual people and there is a spiritual realm and there are spiritual things. So if there's a stronghold that needs to be broken in your home, go home and break it. I told y'all I didn't come from like the best background, but when I was a TBI student and there were strongholds and things that needed to be broken in my home, when I would go home, I would just pray in the spirit up and down my hallways, up and down the room, all in the living room, because I knew what was going on in my home. It was more than just a hurting person. It was a stronghold. It was bondage. And know this, that you have the authority to break that. So I encourage you, if you're going home to maybe an environment that you know isn't right, then take time to, one, look at the person, look at where it's going from, and ask yourself, Holy Spirit, what do I need to do? If it's a stronghold, break it. If it's a conversation that you need to have it. But look at the heart, because Jesus looks at the heart, and it's not always a person. But first, know this, you have to get your heart right first. If you are not ready to have a conversation with a person, we'll call it a person of strife or a person of conflict, without getting angry, wait, you have to forgive. So again, your witness could be tainted by the wrong reaction to offense, and know this, that they would use that against you. One, there's no self-righteousness in this. So it's not going home as a, I'm holier than you, or I have learned this and I'm stronger than you and I know more than you, but it's going home truly with a heart of humility, of recognizing what Jesus has done for you, what he is doing in you, and what he can do through you. And I shared a little bit about my testimony with my brother, but I just want to share again, because hopefully this will encourage you if you are going home to a different type of environment. The transformation that I saw in his life was so evident. And again, my home, it was very much a home of strife. And there was very much a lot of things that were wrong in my home. But when he came home, things did change. Not all at once. And I'm here just as a testimony, as a sister of a TBI alumni that came home. And I saw that transformation. So one, none of us had a good relationship with each other. We were all just living our own lives, living in the same space, but not actually building a relationship together. When he came home, he very intentionally and very surprisingly, one, he took me out on my first brother-sister date. I didn't know that was a thing at the time. And at the time, I thought it was very weird and a little bit awkward. But it was actually, it was one person at a time in the family. And it was that one-on-one time that he intentionally spent with each person that the family really started to change. And I'll say this, at the time, my dad was battling cancer. And those last 2 years of his life that we had together as a family was completely different because of what Jesus did in my brother, what he started in my family, and what ultimately changed us all. From that, myself and my sister are both TBI alumni. And then even from there, my whole family started going to church, which we did not at the time. We had a couple family Bible studies in our home initiated by my brother, which understand, and I'm not digging into details because I still believe in honoring my mother and honoring my family. So I'm not going to go through what the environment of my home was like, but hear me when I say it was wrong. Pretty much anything you could think about, it was probably there. But it changed because he came home and he didn't just start changing things, but it was his actions. It was who he was, how he responded, the conversations that he had one-on-one, the intentionality of just building relationships with each of us that really just changed. It changed our whole family. And today my family still changed. There's still things we're walking through. We're not perfect, but because of one person stepped in, that home that was a home of strife, that was filled with alcoholism, hate, just everything you could think of, is not there anymore. And I can truly celebrate all that Jesus has done in my family and that I know he's continuing to do. I'm still believing for things. That's okay. We still believe for things. But know this, you can make a big difference in your family if you go home and just listen to the Holy Spirit. If you're intentional about building the relationships you want in your family, whether that's with your mom, your dad, brother, sister, whatever it is, just know, and it's not all at once. You don't see it all at once. It took me 3 years to make it to TBI before I really gave my life to the Lord since my brother graduated. But just know that you can make a big difference. How you respond to different situations will be seen. It will have an impact whether you see that response immediately. Know this, that they will still think about it. So I'm talking about responding to strife in a Christ-like way, like you should. I'm talking about recognizing spiritual strongholds in your family that needs to be broken and being intentional about praying about it, doing what he's asking you to do, praying for your family. If you're in a home that maybe even Thanksgiving's coming up, or you're going to a relative's house and it's not common for them to stop and pray before that meal, take a bold step and be the one to initiate it. You can do that. If you go home and it feels awkward and uncomfortable and you don't know how to start changing the environment, take that step. Ask your family to play a board game, something different that y'all don't do that could just start building relationship. Because one, ultimately discipleship starts with relationship. So you need to start building and correcting the relationship in your life if you're believing for household salvation. And so, but we're going to get back to strife. The results of strife are destroying families, separate siblings, harms child development. If you're in a home of strife or you grew up in a home of strife, yes, you were impacted by it. It does harm a child's development, or even if you have an extended family member where you know that they're constantly fighting and there's young children in that home, yes, it impacts them. It builds permanent walls of mistrust and hinders a strong Christian witness. So what does the word say here? It says where there is strife, there is pride. So again, I'm going to say this, whether, I don't want to pretend like we all have it all together. So whether strife is something coming at you or even something coming out of you, again, it's important to stop and look at the root. Is it pride? Is it an attitude of I always have to be right? Or is it even a I'm going home attitude and I know things aren't right here, so I'm going to fix this and tell this person they need to do this and tell this person they need to do that, and we're going to get all this together? That could be prideful. Yes, we want those things, but through a Christ-like attitude, through seeing a person, for loving them first, for understanding that what you see come out of a person most likely is coming from a hurt in a person. So you need to address that first, work on the relationship first, and just make sure and guard yourself from pride. And then the beginning of strife is like letting out water. Therefore, stop contention before a quarrel starts. You can close your mouth at any time. So if you find yourself in a situation where it's already heated up, where it's gone too far, you already know you responded in a way that you're not supposed to, just stop. You can walk away from it. We all see those crazy TikTok or Facebook videos of people just losing it at each other for like no reason, or I mean, maybe a small reason, but they are just going at it and they keep going at it. And you're like, why doesn't this person just walk away? That's pride. That's a spirit of strife. That is something in them that they have to be right. That's something to be mindful of. But if you find yourself in a situation, you lost your temper. You already started to yell. You already responded wrong. Just stop. Next is, it's an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. Not only is it best for you to cease from strife, to stop where it started, but it's an honor. When you're in a situation, say just the room is out of control, it's more than just one-on-one. It is people against people, fighting, yelling, mom protecting one person, dad protecting the other, or whatever the situation is, and it is just out of control. No, one, it's an honor for you to stop. And getting back to, we talked about peacemaking is intentional. Is there anything you can do just to stop that situation? Sometimes there's not. Sometimes you just need to remove yourself from it. But sometimes you can just be the voice of reason in a situation that seems to have no reason, and just say like, hey, we need to split up. Y'all go here, y'all go there. You can do that and talk to people and figure it out. Strife is one of the 16 works of the flesh. So we talked about strife can be a stronghold or a spiritual thing, but also know this, it's a fleshly thing. So if the flesh is out of control, then yes, strife will be there. If flesh is leading, then strife will be there. And the remedy to strife is to stop with this humble question, what can I do to help? Know this, if strife is a big thing in your family, it's not always let's fix this all at once. But again, when you take time to stop, ask the Holy Spirit, what do I need to do and how can I help? We talked about most of the time, family is the one that gets your worst because it's where you feel safe and you know you'll always be loved. So know, like if strife is something that keeps coming out, that person needs something, they're missing something. One, it could be attention. It could just be they need some love, some affirmation. They just need to be told that you love them. Maybe that could be where you start, telling someone that you love them every day. Maybe no one else in their life is telling them that. Even if it's an uncle or an aunt, a distant relative, that when y'all do get together, this person's tone, their relational attitude is just, it's rough. They might just need some encouragement. If you can intentionally go into a family situation and spend some time loving on every person in that room, it'll change it. So, this is a quote from Greg Grossel. The first to apologize is the bravest. The first to forgive is the strongest. And the first to forget is the happiest. Peacemakers pursue peace. Pursue is a strong word. It's an aggressive action to follow in order to take over. As a family member, we can pursue peace by resisting strife and demonstrating intentional kindness. 1 Peter 3:11 says, "Let him search for peace, harmony, undisturbed from fears, agitated passions, and moral conflicts, and seek it eagerly." Do not merely desire peaceful relations with God, with your fellow man, and with yourself, but pursue it. Go after them. You are called to live in peace and to be a person of peace. And like I said, you are a carrier of peace. You can walk into a room and a situation and change it because of the spirit of the whole God inside of you, because of the Holy Spirit inside of you. He will lead you. He will tell you what to do. But know this, you can change the atmosphere of a room just by being there. So I talked about sometimes you have to remove yourself from the situation. Sometimes you just have to put yourself in the middle of it, because you being there changes the room. Sometimes even when you have a bold witness, people act differently around you. People might just stop cursing around you because they know who you are and what you stand for. So people just kind of start changing when you've changed. When you have a bold relationship with Jesus and they see it, they know it, they just act differently. And again, it doesn't always happen at once. It takes you taking intentional, bold steps. One, to show them who you are in Christ by responding how you're supposed to in Christ. And people just start changing. But I love that it says, pursue it. Go after them. You should intentionally pursue peace in your family, in your homes, and in your relationships. I touched this lightly talking about one day you're going to have your own family, if that's a desire in your heart. I believe you will. And as a believer, a Christian, your family should be different than the world's. Strife, I know I said it's a common thing and it happens, but it doesn't have to. So when you're even building your family one day intentionally, one, hopefully you're dealing with anything in your heart now that you might need to deal with. If you do get easily offended, if you do have anger that comes out of you that you don't know where it comes from, one, in this season now, you are preparing your heart for more. One day, if your desire is to have children and a family, deal with those issues, because what you don't deal with, they'll have to. And that's not what Jesus wants for them, and that's not what he wants for you. So be intentional about dealing with any of these things in your heart that we've been talking about, offense, anger, unforgiveness, because the foundation of building a home and a family that you desire one day comes from a healed place. Yes, you will continue to grow for the rest of your life, but being quick to apologize and quick to forgive is going to change the atmosphere of your family one day. And again, like I said, your family should be different. Strife doesn't belong in your family, and a family that truly loves each other the way that they're supposed to, that God intended to, is one of the greatest examples that we could show the world of why we're different, because it's so common for the world to have other things in their families. And we, as believers, as followers of Christ, don't have to live that way. So know this, your family that you build one day intentionally should look very different than the rest of the world's. And then I want to say this too. We talked about in the beginning how, you know, you can be your truest self most of the time, your worst self with your family, because you know they love you no matter what. When you were born again, you were born into a new family. And just imagine if we took that same, this is my family, they're with me no matter what, attitude into the church, loving someone no matter what, when they give you your their worst or their best. That's how the family of God should be. No matter where someone's at in their walk with Jesus, it's not a place of judgment or condemnation or a place where you have to put on a mask or pretend like you're not going through things. It's a place where you should be able to be your honest and true self, because you're in the family of God. It is a family. The church is your family of God. And so just know that it should be a safe place, in the same love and connection and the being there to help you like a brother in times of adversity belongs in the church family and God's family as well. All right. Going on to your next page, building family relationships. This is a part for you. So I want you to take a moment as I'm talking, just be honest with yourself and think about the relationships in your life and how you would rate them. This will give you an opportunity to maybe see areas that you might want to focus on or relationships you might want to focus on. So there's zero, non-existent, a broken bridge, a one-sided bridge, a two-sided but bumpy, and a beautiful bridge. And know this, that every relationship in your family can be and should be a beautiful bridge. Next, we have rebuilding family relationships. You can ask God for guidance. We talked about that. You can pray that the Lord will soften their hearts. Send them apology. Be the first one to step out to make the first move. Express your desire to rebuild in a letter, a card, or email without expectations. Birthdays and holidays are a good opportunity to show kindness. If there is a relationship in your life that has already been severed, but you know that you want to restore it, well, I know that yes, Jesus can restore any relationship in your life, but it would take intentionality, it would take action, and you should pursue peace. So if you don't even know how to start, where to begin, start on those days that are easy, birthdays, holidays. And then there's 101% rules. Focus on the 1% you agree on. You might disagree about everything else. You might not even be in the situation where the person even believes in your values, your beliefs, your morals, your faith. But there could be one thing, whether that one common interest could be sports, a baseball team that you both like, whatever it is, find that one thing and start there. And then there's a bridge called kindness. Intentional kindness is a secret to strong family relationships. Kindness is love in action, and it will immediately begin to chip away at the hardest heart. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. That's Romans 12:21. I tell you, love your enemies. Help and give without expecting in return. Know this, if you're working in a difficult situation relationally, don't expect something back right away. If it's someone who you just know or feel has a hard heart, like it said before, it's chipping away chip by chip until you see someone change. Even for me in my situation I talked about with my brother, it took me 3 years to truly come to the Lord. But when I needed to, when I knew that it was time for that something in my life had to change, I knew where to go because of the example that he set before me. Next, love the center of who you are. Don't fake it. People can tell when it's not generally one. Like I said, you have to really get your heart right first. Check your motives. Check your intentions. Check your heart. Can I talk to this person without anger stirring inside of me? Can I see this person for who they are in Christ first? You have to come from a healed place to heal a relationship. So bless your enemies. No cursing under the breath. Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be the great somebody. Don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone, which there is. If you've got it in you, get along with everybody. And if there's ultimately just, we talked about in the beginning, this would be more friendships. But if there's just a relationship in your life that in the end doesn't belong there, it's okay to let go. You don't have to fix relationships with everybody. Some relationships are seasonal and that's okay. But don't insist on getting even. That's not for you. God will do the judging and he'll take care of it. So we're wrapping up here. There's a sibling challenge for you. If you don't have the relationship that you want with all of your siblings, you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. So why not embrace your siblings as your special friends? Build a relationship with your siblings. Right now, you're in a season of your life where, yes, your siblings are in your life. But if you want that relationship to be in your life forever, for your sibling to be the uncle and aunt to your children one day that you want them to be, you have to be intentional. I remember growing up, you know, there's uncles and aunts that I would see once a year during family holidays, and there wasn't a relationship there. But if you want that kind of relationship with your siblings that last, that'll be there till the end, you have to be intentional about building a strong relationship, taking time for it. So just be intentional there, because know this, your relationships with your siblings, they are a gift. God did put them in your life. You don't have to question that. When it comes to your friendships, you can ask, where does it come from? You know, was this person, you know, is it a seasonal relationship? Is it this kind of relationship with your siblings, with your family? God himself put them there. So yes, you should work as hard as you can to keep those relationships strong and healthy. So summary, resolving family conflict. Becoming a peacemaker is a daily choice which builds a strong family. You are makers of peace. Where you go, you carry peace, you bring peace, and you can choose what comes out of your mouth. You should be aware of what comes out of your mouth. Is this peace or is this strife? Is this conflict? Is this peace? Is this helping building this atmosphere, or is this adding to the tension that's here? 2, you won't get offended if you quickly cover any annoyance with love. Love conquers all. Love, if you ever find yourself in a situation where you don't know what to do or you don't know how to respond, respond with love. You will never go wrong in responding with love. Strife separates families, so stop it before it starts. Intentional kindness is a proactive plan to rebuild a family relationship. So know this, your families were meant to be a blessing. They were meant to be a gift. You are a gift to your family. And I pray whatever family situation you're in, know that you'll build a family one day. And you'll marry into a family one day. Most likely the family you marry into is going to look very different than yours. So whatever you step into with peace, and you are a peacemaker. And the family and the home that you build should be built on Christ-like character from a place of being healed and whole in your relationships. All right, that's it for today. Love you guys. Continue to have an awesome midterm week. If you haven't taken those, do it soon. I think your deadline is Friday. Is that right? Monday. Okay, so y'all still have time, plenty of time, but study, show yourself approved, get it done, and enjoy your Unity Week. It should be a lot of fun on Saturday. Go all in, do the crazy things. Y'all know what I mean, like in the game, don't like go out and do crazy things, but have a lot of fun. Love you guys. We'll pray out, and y'all continue to have a great rest of your day. Father, we love you. We thank you for today. We thank you for what you're showing us about our families, about relationships in our life. We thank you that we are makers of peace, that we are peacemakers. We thank you for continuing to show us how we can intentionally just bring peace where we go. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.